Welcome back to The Messenger Insight with Dr. David Dockery, President of Union University and member of the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force. In this edition, Dr. Dockery explores the history of the North American Mission Board and its relationship to the International Mission Board, the definition and impact of Great Commission giving on the cooperative program, and the future of the Southern Baptist Convention's coming generation. In the news conference following the report in the Baptist building there in Nashville, Dr. Moeller came out and talked about that he expected state conventions to take some of the funds for cooperative program promotion as part of their expenditures, at least per annum. The Georgia Baptist Convention mentions what you talk about, preferred items to, I think, almost 18% of their budget is preferred items for cooperative program promotion and other ideas and other aspects of that. Does the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force expect this change to take place throughout other state conventions?
Expect may be too strong of a term. Would acknowledge that it would be a good thing to do in some states. To recognize that state conventions must, we want them to be healthy. We want them to function well. We need healthy state conventions. We need strong leadership at the state convention level. They are the ones who are closer to the churches than the national convention entities and agencies. So we need that to happen. And so the goal is of the Great Commission Resurgence is not any way to try to do away with the work of state conventions or to weaken them. It's to strengthen them and to get us all working off the same page and a similar vision as much as possible. I serve in a state convention entity, the Union University of the Tennessee Baptist Convention. And so we want a strong Tennessee Baptist Convention. We want a strong Union University. But we also want to relate well, constructively, cooperatively, in partnership with the national convention. I think people at the state convention want that. And so I think Dr. Moeller is right. State conventions are going to have to think differently about the way they budget. And then if we're going to ask them to do the work of corporate program promotion, we want them to do it well. We want individuals giving to churches. We want churches giving to the corporate program. And we want corporate program monies eventually getting the gospel to the nations.
Dr. Floyd stated, quote, in the printed report, quote, while our state conventions keep an average of 63.45% of the dollars within their respective states, the North American Mission Board then sends back to the state conventions an additional annual sum of $50.6 million due to these cooperative agreements and budgets. This process complicates the work at times, resulting in a lack of productivity and accountability. Dr. Dockery, what are cooperative agreements?
Cooperative agreements were established in the 1950s. Between state conventions and what was then the Home Mission Board. These were a great idea at the time. We did not have the communication abilities that we have now through telephone, internet, email, Skype, all these things. We're in touch with each other now, you know, around the world, much less around the country or state to state. We didn't have that then, and we needed to work together differently. And it was a way of establishing a cooperation and deciding we're going to start a church in this area, then we want a local church, an association, the state convention, and the Home Mission Board to all agree that that's a good thing. We would cooperate together within that cooperative agreement. And a way that that agreement would take place is then First Baptist Church of, I don't know, let's say Tupelo, Mississippi, would send money to Jackson, Mississippi, to the state offices. They in turn would this is corporate program money. They in turn would send it to Nashville. Nashville would parcel it out according to the convention percentages, with approximately 25% going to the Home Mission Board. And then the Home Mission Board then would say, we're working together in cooperation with the Mississippi Baptist Convention, the Tupelo Association, and the First Baptist Church of Tupelo to establish a church there and send money back to get that started. It made sense, and it was a way of keeping all four of them from going in and starting the same church. I mean, that's the genius of it. You know, if we do work together as church, local association, state convention, and national convention, it kept all four of them saying, that's a great place to start a church, and all four of them going there trying to do it. Instead, it got the four of them to cooperate together to start one church. And so that's what the cooperative agreements were for. That's how they originally got started. But what has happened is the money has gone back to the states and then left up to the states to decide, sometimes without the same level of conversation with the home mission board, or now the North American Mission Board, without partnerships with the associations having full say-so in the work of the state conventions. And so we're trying to find a better way to get it done. We still want the same results. We still want churches started there. But it may be the best thing to do is for the money that's sent to the National Convention to go to the North American Mission Board and let the North American Mission Board send a church planting missionary there and let the funding stop there. I think people can't quite follow why the money has to stop so many places along the way. It was a great idea at the time. It still works. We still want that money going back from the North American Mission Board, particularly to new state works in the Northwest, New England, Far West, other areas. The goal is not to weaken those younger state conventions that are still in need of much partnership to do their work. And particularly if we say that two-thirds of the nation is where we need to be focusing in the future, because so much of our work has been done in one-third of the country in the Deep South, then it's those state conventions that are really the future for our work. I think we have many important conversations that will need to take place. But I hope everyone will understand the heartbeat of the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force has been to try to get the gospel extended, to plant churches, to extend the work in this country and around the world, and to do so in partnership with others, even as we think of new and strategic ways to do so.
As you know, these past couple of weeks, since the commission has released the task force has released its report, the cooperative agreement, there has been quite a bit of pushback. Let me bring this to the fore. Dr. Albert Mohler stated, quote, in a written communique about these cooperative agreements, quote, in the year 2009, about $50 million was routed through these cooperative agreements. Many of these dollars were spent on the salaries of workers in the state conventions and associations. The monies are allocated and channeled in ways that are difficult to trace, much less to prioritize. In response to President Mohler, Glenn Land, State Missions Director for the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention from the years 2000 to 2009, wrote these words on March 12, 2010, quote, anyone who has sweated through the tedious process of annually renegotiating cooperative agreement funding between NAM and a state convention partner will readily agree that it is a complex and tedious business. He goes on to state that many of us would applaud any efforts to simplify and streamline that process. But if accountability contributes to the clumsiness of the current system, then one can persuasively argue that we suffer from too much, not too little, Land writes. Who is right?
Well, I think both are right in their intentions. Dr. Mohler never intended to suggest that state conventions had not rightly prioritized those things. He was only acknowledging how challenging it is for this to be done. And sometimes the money goes back to the state conventions in lump sums. And the larger group of Southern Baptists may not know or understand. I think those at the state level know how the money is spent. Probably a vice president at the North American Mission Board knows how it is spent. They can trace the monies. They can prioritize how it was spent. But it's sometimes hard to understand that, say, for instance, here in the state of Tennessee, our annual budget as a state convention is, you know, nearly $40 million. 40% of that goes to the Southern Baptist Convention. So that's $16 million going to the Southern Baptist Convention. You figure a fourth of that, approximately, is going to the North American Mission Board at $4 million, and then 10% or more, at least 400,000 a year, and it's been more in other years, circles back around to Tennessee Baptist Convention. We might just ask the question, why wouldn't it be better for that 400,000 just to stay in the state in the first place and let the state decide this is what they want to do, and then whatever goes to NAM, NAM decides, and then they become a mission sending entity rather than a funding agency. So one of the recommendations is that as we rethink the cooperative programs is to ask the states to budget accordingly. I believe that's the word that is used in the recommendation. And so I think there is much work to be done, many conversations to be had. Again, the work of the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force is to present an overarching vision. The details are going to need to be worked out, and it's going to take time. And it's going to have, we're going to need people at the Executive Committee, leadership at the North American Mission Board, leadership at the International Mission Board, and leadership at the state conventions who come together regularly in conversation, willing to work together in partnership. I believe it can be done. I hope I'm not naive, and I really don't even want to be optimistic. I think that's a human language term. I want to be biblically hopeful in the confidence and the faithfulness of God who birthed the Southern Baptist Convention in 1845 to help us reprioritize, strategize to carry out the Great Commission in the most effective and faithful way possible in the future.
So let me pick at some of your words there. About May the 3rd is when this report will come forth from the task force. It will not be a detailed report specializing and specifying the exact action steps for implementation of all these recommendations. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
It will have some suggestions, but it will not focus on details. We recognize that details have to be worked out at the state convention level or by the boards of these various entities and agencies. Again, we want to respect Baptist polity and recognize that this task force is, you know, has a particular assignment, and it's mostly vision casting, trying to reprioritize missional thinking for local churches, to rethink the culture of the Southern Baptist Convention with the adoption of core values, and then to address structural issues where we can in order to carry out the Great Commission more effectively and more faithfully.
Dr. Floyd stated, quote, in the written report, "This is why our task force believes we must return to the primacy and centrality of the local church in our denomination." From whence shall we return, Mr. President? In other words, has the denomination moved away from the primacy and centrality of the local church?
I do think that when people think of the Southern Baptist Convention, we tend to think of its structures. We tend to think of its boards, its schools, its commissions, its agencies. Sometimes we think of the headquarters of the Southern Baptist Convention being in Nashville, you know, in the same way the headquarters of Roman Catholic Church are in Rome. But that's a misunderstanding of our polity. Our polity is a bottom-up polity, not a top-down polity. As I've said before, the work of the Great Commission Research Task Force would be much easier in an episcopal form of government, where if we were bishops, we could make a decision and then everybody else could decide, you know, how to work this out. But we're not bishops. We're Baptist, and we like being Baptist, and we want to work faithfully as Baptists with our historic polity, which we think is, you know, is, reflects the New Testament the best we can understand it. So in that sense, I think we have lost sight of the priority of the local church. So we want to reestablish the local church as central to the work of carrying out the Great Commission, getting each local church to think missionally. If indeed the reports are right, coming out of Lifeway and the North American Mission Board, that 70% of our 44,000 churches are in decline or plateaued at best, we have some work to do at the local church level. If indeed the reports are right, that every church member is only giving 2.3% of their income rather than a basic tithe, 10% of their income to the churches. If indeed local churches are giving approximately 6% of their annual budgets to the the cooperative program. We have a lot of work to do in the area of stewardship education before we even think about doing cooperative program promotion, before we think about implementation and structural change.
Dr. Docker, recommendation number 2 of the task force speaks directly to the issue of the North American Mission Board. It states this, that the North American Mission Board needs to be reinvented and released. Well, from whom should the board be released, and to whom should the board be released?
Oh, that's an interesting question there, Doug. I think what we desire for the North American Mission Board is for it to be released from its long list of ministry assignments and multiple priorities. We want it to be streamlined where it can emphasize North American church planting to realize the lostness that exists in the great cities of the country and to find ways for Southern Baptists to partner with state conventions where those big cities are located to do new work in that place. So church planting, focus on evangelism and discipleship, recognizing those two things must go hand in hand, and it's very hard to divorce them as we have done sometimes in the past in the program and ministry assignments. To emphasize ongoing pastoral leadership development. It is necessary for pastors to retool. Even someone who graduated from seminary 20 years ago and has been in ministry 20 years, now lives in a very different world. Demographers, you know, I get fascinated by these people, but and they sometimes exaggerate. But demographers are now saying that the world has changed more in the last 12 years than it did in the previous century. Now, if that's the case, someone who was prepared to minister in the early 90s is ministering in a very different world. And so we want to have ongoing pastoral leadership and think that can be done best at the North American Mission Board. And then one of the things that the North American Mission Board has done so extremely well over the last several years is disaster relief. Right there with the Red Cross and Salvation Armies, the North American Mission Board, at all of these huge disasters. And no one in Southern Baptist life understands the importance of having people come to help you, like Union University, when we were hit by this devastating tornado, February of 2008. So that is a very, very important work. So we're not saying that all those other things were unimportant, but they were cumbersome, and we're trying to prioritize the work. So in some ways, almost to release the North American Mission Board from itself and to release it from the ambiguity of its focus.
Following the task force initial report, some information was released by the North American Mission Board through Baptist Press on its own website, correcting what they called an error in reporting to the task force. Let me read from their press release. Page 19 of the progress report depicts how Southern Baptist resources are distributed throughout the United States. That data indicates that at the end of 2008, there were 3,515 missionaries serving in the 14 states most often considered to be the area where Southern Baptists are the strongest, at only 1,735 missionaries serving in the remaining states across the U.S. In the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force report, the 14 states are depicted in blue and the others in red. In actuality, within the U.S., there were 2,573 missionaries serving in the 14 blue states in 2008 and 2,733 serving in the remaining red states. The release goes on to state, this indicates a disbursement of 48% of North American Mission Board missionaries serving in blue states and 52% serving in red states. Another 133 NAM missionaries serve in Canada. If Canada is included in the overall numbers, 2,866 of NAM's missionaries serve outside the blue states, making the percentage 53% in North America serving outside the blue states. After this was released, Chairman Floyd responded, said this did not change at all the emphasis of the task force report. How can that be? It seems that there's an inversion of numbers here.
I think it's unfortunate that there was confusion in the numbers, and we're thankful that clarification has come, and appreciate those at the North American Mission Board who worked to get the information corrected. We certainly want to work off of good information. As you know, good leadership requires qualitative information and quantitative information. In qualitative information, we respond to people, their feelings, concerns, priorities, and quantitative information, good data. And if you don't have good data in any organization, you can't make good decisions. But it requires both. I think so much of our work, so much of our emphasis has been more on the qualitative kind of things. We realize the reality of lostness. I think it has gripped those of us serving on this task force in ways it never has before. I think if nothing else comes out of the work of the Great Commission Task Force, God has done a work in the lives of 23 people to help them see his world afresh, to get a glimpse of the words of Jesus, the exalted Christ, speaking his great commission to his church afresh, and to enliven our own service. But much more will come out of that, because others will be gripped with the same vision. So I think what Dr. Floyd meant was that the vision doesn't change. We are still focused on trying to address lostness, still focused on carrying out the Great Commission. God has done a work in his life, in my life, in the life of all of us serving around that table. And I think that's what doesn't change. So the numbers change. It may change the strategy some. It may change the priority some. But again, it's the overarching vision that's driving the work of the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force. And in that sense, it doesn't change.
Component number three, the recommendation brought forth by Chairman Floyd, speaks to the International Mission Board. Quote, he says, "We believe in order for us to work together more faithfully and effectively towards the fulfillment of the Great Commission, we will ask Southern Baptists to entrust to the International Mission Board the ministry to reach the unreached and underserved people groups without regard to any geographic limitation." Does this mean that the International Mission Board will appoint missionaries stateside?
Yes, it could well mean that, but not to work with citizens of the United States, citizens of North America, but to focus on those who represent people groups from another country. So if missionaries are working with a people group from a country in Africa, and that same people group is found in France, and that same people group can be found here in large numbers on a college campus or working visas on assignment with some big company, then it only makes sense to try to reach the leaders or the next generation of leaders of that people group who will leave this country and go back to serve elsewhere. So if we can already work with that people group from Africa in France, then why can't we work with them also in the United States? It is not an attempt to duplicate or to take over the work of the North American Mission Board. Quite the opposite. It's very focused on the kind of people groups who are here on short-term assignment, mostly for education or business, you know, 3, 5, 10-year kind of assignments in this country. But we see it time and time again. They go back from this country and they become the leaders there. If they could go back with people who have embraced the gospel, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, what a difference it can make upon their return.
In follow-up to that, is this an incremental step in the vision of the Great Commission Task Force, designed by the task force to move toward a unified mission board?
I can't speak for every member of the task force individually, but for the task force as a group, we have clearly decided that it's important to keep two mission boards. We looked carefully, thoroughly, at the idea of merging them. We went back and read the history. This is not the first time these ideas have been discussed. After we started with two mission boards in 1845, before the turn of the end of the 19th century, people were already asking the question, should we have one rather than two? B.H. Carroll led the way in arguing for the importance of keeping two. His arguments, interestingly enough, at the end of the 19th century were still important arguments for us in our decisions today, even though, as I mentioned, the world has changed drastically. But understanding the difference in approach, the different missiological approaches of the two boards. It's not just that they work in different areas, but they're two missiological strategies at work. And the way that this is carried out in terms of priorities, country to country, language group to language group, people group to people group, it's different. And so we decided that merging them is not the best idea. We are trying to give each new energy, new focus, and giving them the resources and the freedom that they need to reach the world as it has changed in 2010. The world of 1845 of W.B. Johnson is not the world in which you and I live in 2010. Nobody loves W.B. Johnson and the founders more than I. I love our Baptist history, and I understand how it has changed from the Johnson years to the Carroll years to the Mullins years to the Hobbs and Criswell years, but we live in a different world than all of those, than our forebears. We learn from them, we admire them, we appreciate them, but we can't duplicate them. We have an assignment for our world at this particular time, and we must rethink that and re-strategize for that world. But I think it is best done with two mission boards, and I think the task force is totally on board in moving in that direction.
Component number five deals with the giving plan or the funding formula for the cooperative program in a move that is entitled Great Commission Giving, an effort to count all funds that move toward Great Commission causes of the Southern Baptist Convention. Many have said this will be the undoing of the cooperative program if all funds can be counted as cooperative program giving, moving around the structure as it stands today. Your response?
I think it is important to recognize that the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force did not recommend a change in the definition of the cooperative program, nor do we recommend a change in the priority of the cooperative program. The cooperative program is the greatest mechanism in the history of the Christian world for funding missions and funding Christian ministry opportunities. It is absolutely ingenious in how it all came together in the 1920s. God did an amazing thing in the life of Southern Baptist Convention. And it has served us well, served us extremely well for 85 years. And we want to continue recognizing cooperative program as the primary means, the primary vehicle for supporting the work of Southern Baptist causes and state convention causes. But we also recognize that people do give to other things and give in other ways. We even applaud that already with Lottie Moon offerings, Annie Armstrong offerings, state convention offerings. Every group of Baptist churches that is close to some entity, whether it's a children's home in Alabama or a seminary in California or a college in Texas or Oklahoma, usually likes to give to that cause that's close by. And so there are hundreds of those across our work in state and national convention life. All we're suggesting is that we recognize that, applaud it, and encourage broader participation. It is not our intention that Great Commission giving replace cooperative program giving in its priority. Matter of fact, we are giving greater emphasis upon stewardship, education, cooperative program promotion, even before mentioning this. So it's not an afterthought, but it is a way, once we encourage partnership through the cooperative program, to encourage participation. That's the way I like to think about it, through Great Commission giving, in ways that we already recognize, but to applaud those churches that are doing it well, and encourage everyone to work together. This in some ways is not new though, Doug. Again, going back to our history, 1925, 26, 27, 28, those early years, cooperative program reports included undesignated and designated giving, something that we don't talk about very much today. But if you go back and read the financial plan for the cooperative program in 1928 and 1929, you'll find these words. That in preparing the proposed total budget and determining the total receipts which may reasonably be anticipated from the cooperative program, designated and undesignated, the executive committee shall take into consideration the following facts. 1, total amount of submitted budgets of the agencies. 2, total receipts of all agencies for the past year from the cooperative program, designated and undesignated, and 3, goals set by the states for Southwide causes for the next calendar year. The terms designated, undesignated, associated with the cooperative program sound a little bit foreign to our ears, but certainly there is historical precedent for what we have done.
Let me pick up on your words. You speak of the priority of the cooperative program. If statistics prove anything, it is that the cooperative program is not a priority, especially among younger pastors of the Southern Baptist Convention. Why?
I think it is so important that we help the generation of pastors who are moving into leadership now understand what the cooperative program has done, what it can do. I think there are a variety of reasons why that's the case. This generation prefers to give to something they can see, to a person, to an individual, to a ministry that has a face to it. And we've not done a very good job of putting a face on the cooperative program. It's just this, it's this big idea. And sometimes a cooperative program for many in my generation, and even the one ahead of me, has unfortunately been, much of a sacred cow or an end in itself rather than a means to an end. I don't think we have done a good job of educating people on what the cooperative program is, how it affects so many, and how it helps so many. So in order for us to do cooperative program promotion anew, we have to do stewardship education afresh. Those two things have to go together. And this generation, I think, will respond if they understand how it can happen. We also need new heroes. We need heroes like Jimmy Draper, Jim Henry, Marsh Chapman, when he was not just in his role as executive committee, but in his role at the church and as president of Southern Baptist Convention in the early 90s. These people were champions of the cooperative program. We need heroes like that again, and we need to hold up those heroes and celebrate them, give thanks to God for them, and, like Paul said, imitate their way of life where we can. It's a way of putting the words of Paul himself, or the author of Hebrews 13:17. Imitate these leaders. Let's find the right leaders to put before the young leaders, encourage them to imitate their way of life and celebrate it. But it's going to require examples and education for it to happen.
In many ways, the entire Great Commission resurgence can trace its roots back to the Union University campus, with discussions actually being forthright in the Baptist Identity Conference convened on this campus, largely under your leadership. 1 year ago, I sat down with President Hunt and did a podcast talking about the Great Commission resurgence, and he referenced your book, Southern Baptist Consensus and Renewal, as well as the newest volume, Southern Baptist Identity, which were a compilation of the essays and talks given at these conferences as the impetus for his vision of the Great Commission resurgence. On May the 5th, 2009, you released a statement in conjunction with Dr. Timothy George about Great Commission partners as part of the Great Commission resurgence. Speak to the pastor, speak to the Southern Baptist who is hearing all of these things, all of the details of the funding structure, all of the things about the movements of the infrastructure of the Southern Baptist Convention. Why should they remain committed to the Southern Baptist Convention and the Great Commission Resurgence?
Thank you, Doug, for those kind words and the words of President Hunt as well regarding the two publications. I'm grateful and honored by your kind affirmation. The work here of the Baptist Identity Conference in 2004 started a very important conversation, which was continued at the Baptist Identity Conference of 2007. We were blessed with the privilege of distributing a little booklet called Building Bridges at Southern Baptist Convention of 2007. The Consensus and Renewal volume was released in 2008. At that time, Tom Rainer and Danny Akin were already talking about a Great Commission resurgence in significant ways around the convention. I had the privilege of speaking at Southern Baptist Convention in 2008, and my closing words were to call for a Great Commission resurgence. And so there were a variety of things that led up to the appointment of a Great Commission resurgence task force in 2009. I'm grateful if Union University had a role in that, if I had any part of it. We can only thank God, but there were a variety of people who have come together. And I think what we recognized was that Southern Baptist Convention needed a fresh vision, a fresh idea, a new vision that would create consensus, bring about renewal. And that idea goes back to our founding, 1845. We were started with the idea of cooperating together to do domestic and foreign missions, as it was called then. We would now say North American and global or international missions. So I think that vision is very important. I think also we come to be gripped by the reality of the lostness of the world, the urgency of the moment. And we need to respond asking in prayer for God's help, His enablement, His blessings upon our work. Over the last 30 years, Southern Baptists have become a fragmented group. I've even used the term balkanized. We need to find ways to unify around a commitment to the truthfulness of the Bible, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to work together hand in hand for the kingdom, for the extend the gospel, for the work of God's kingdom on this earth. And it's going to take partners for that to happen. We can't do it in isolation. We can't do it totally independently. We're going to need to work together afresh. And so I believe that for the Great Commission resurgence to be embedded in the life of Southern Baptist for the next several years, for the next generation, we need Great Commission partners in local churches, in associations, in state conventions and state convention entities, at the national convention, with national convention entities and agencies and commissions, with individuals coming together, local church pastors working together. We're thankful for the call to place Jesus Christ and His Great Commission in the center of our service across the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'm so thankful for the 6,000 or so who have prayed daily for the work of the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force. The heartbeat of Southern Baptist throughout our history has been the Great Commission. We recognize Southern Baptists have been and will able to carry out the Great Commission mandate by God's providential enablement, blessing, and provision through the cooperative and collaborative efforts of Great Commission partners. Therefore, I think it's important that we applaud and support the spirit of what has been called for by President Hunt, that we ask people across the convention to not focus so much on ourselves, but on something bigger than ourselves, on the gospel and the need to take the gospel to the nations, to emphasize a call for partnerships, I think, represents the spirit of ME Dodd, the 1925 convention. We need to help one another facilitate each other's work, to strengthen each other's work, not to weaken anyone, but to partner together for the good of all. That's what the cooperative program is about. We can do more together than we can do by ourselves. So we need to recognize all the Great Commission partners, those who are good stewards of cooperative program dollars, celebrate them, offer them genuine praise and bountiful support so that they can carry out their work. The cooperative program has been so important in that work. It has been the glue that continues to hold together 44,000 Southern Baptist congregations for the purpose of advancing the gospel around the world. And we need afresh to enhance these cooperative and collaborative efforts. I pray that God will bless this work. I pray that we will see a genuine Great Commission resurgence, genuine consensus of Southern Baptists, and genuine renewal in the lives of His people in this country, in the churches, and around the world for the sake of the gospel.
Dr. David Dockery, thank you for taking time with us today. May the Lord bless you and your work. Thank you for joining us today. Special thanks to Dr. David Dockery and the Office of the President for their help in making this podcast possible. To Jacob Wright, our executive producer, and to all Oklahoma Baptists who make this outreach possible through their ongoing support of the cooperative program and the Oklahoma State Missions Offering.